This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now it's 9:19 in the morning, Monday the 24th of February. And before we get into more analysis, let's take a quick look at how the KLCI is doing this morning.
Well, the KLCI seems to be coming back. We were right on the abyss, 1,503 points at the start of the day. Now we've gained another 5 points to only be down 1.5% to 1,508 points. But MyEG is still very much in play. Now, earlier they were up, now they're down. Such are the vacillations of the local market. Gamuda is still down 9% to 362. That tells a larger picture. But Maybank, being the bellwether of the KLCI, is seeing some selling, down 1% to 835. CIMB down to 488. Nobody likes uncertainty. And I guess investors are selling assets ahead of certainty.
Now, earlier we were speaking about the National Auto Policy 2020, which was revealed on Friday after almost a year of delay. So, and to get perspective on whether the announcements change the outlook for listed auto and auto part players, we have on the line with us Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Alex. But before we get started on the NAP, can we please ask you, what do you think, or how do you think the equity market is going to be reacting to the political news over the weekend that a new government may be formed?
Well, clearly we're going to see much more volatility in the weeks ahead until there's further clarity on whether there's going to be a change in government or not. So until that happens, I think there will be a lot of nervous investors out there.
And moving back to the NAP, because there's, like you say, still a lot of uncertainty. What are the key takeaways of this policy for the auto sector?
I think the NAP 2020 that was announced last Friday doesn't really change anything for the local automotive industry in the short term. It really builds on the policies that have already been enshrined under NAP 2014, but just adds on things like the next generation vehicle, mobility as a service, as well as Industry 4.0. But I think we were still expecting some additional further detailed roadmaps and blueprints. But generally, in terms of the broad brushstrokes that we saw last Friday, it really doesn't, it doesn't move the needle in the near term anyway.
What else could the NAP 2030 have achieved and which was missed out this time around, Alex?
Well, I think what is interesting is that they have chosen to continue the customized incentive approach, in the NAP 2020, that was originally mooted back in 2014. So that is something that, is somewhat different from the approach that our neighboring countries have used, where they are going with a menu-based approach whereby, you can actually see up front what you're going to get, assuming you invest a certain amount in the industry. So there is a much higher degree of clarity and transparency with the menu-based approach compared to the customized incentives, where you can't really tell what you're going to get until you actually, enter into negotiations with the, MITI.
Does it mean that it will be more difficult for Malaysia to leapfrog as a manufacturing hub in this region, and we will continue to maybe lose out to Thailand and Indonesia then?
Well, during the workshops that were held, through the course of last year, we did get the opportunity to speak up at that workshop. And, one of the, in the views that, that I contributed to one of those workshops was that I don't think we're actually, going far enough in order to ensure that the local automotive industry can claw back its lost advantage, that we've lost out to countries like Thailand and Indonesia, who are now seen to be the regional manufacturing hubs for a lot of OEM manufacturers. So whether or not the NAP 2020 allows, or can entice global OEMs to actually come back to Malaysia is a big question mark. Right now, if the MITI is, hell bent on continuing with this customized incentive approach, that is certainly, very much a question that is very much still uncertain. I mean, you can see that in the last couple of years, the big new investments, the new FDIs, they've gone into Thailand and Malaysia, Thailand and Indonesia. You know, Mercedes-Benz invested 100 million euros in Thailand, which includes a first plug-in hybrid battery plant. Toyota announced an 8.3 billion investment to build EVs in Indonesia. And more recently, in November last year, Nissan also announced a 1.4 billion capacity expansion in Thailand. You know, so what kind of FDIs have we seen coming into Malaysia's local domestic automotive industry in the last few years? You know, certainly nothing in the, on the scale that has gone into the neighbouring countries.
So, Alex, has all of this changed your call on the sector, or are there still some prevailing risks?
Well, I think we have left our sector call as a neutral. We still think that there is some regulatory risk, particularly with regards to the changes in the OMV calculation for excise duty that apparently is on hold until the end of this year. But what happens, you know, next, you know, in 2021 is a moot point. You know, so right now it hasn't changed our view on the sector. But then again, you know, we're not, you know, we're not turning positive on the sector either, given that the longer term, you know, outlook for the local automotive industry is one of stagnation, because right now, as it stands, the total industry volume or the size of the market for cars will likely, you know, top out at around the 600,000. Vehicle mark, and how do we see that moving higher? You know, as long as car prices don't change, you know, incomes in Malaysia have stagnated, and you know, the ability of Malaysians to actually gear up further to buy even more cars, you know, is somewhat unlikely at this juncture.
So, Alex, what are your top picks for the sector then, if you have any?
Well, we like DRB Highcom for its controlling stake in Proton. I think Proton will still, you know, have an edge going forward with the new models that are planned. We also like Burma's for its attractive yield. But right now, you know, overall, you know, we think that until there's better clarity on the duty front, I don't think investors are going to be too gung-ho about stocks in the sector.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Alex. And that was Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank, talking to us about his outlook on the auto sector post the release of the NAP 2020.
Well, this morning, MBM Resources is down 2.24% to 392. Some of the names, Tan Chong Motors is also down this morning. Actually, the whole sector is down. I think it's regardless of whatever is happening, everyone is distracted very much by the political news more than anything else.
Now, we're also here in Malaysia, smack bang in the middle of earnings season. And for the fourth quarter ended 2019, Heineken Berhad's core net profit fell 9% year on year, down 12% on quarter to 91 million ringgit. So some key takeaways from Heineken's fourth quarter results include that revenue grew by a marginal 3% on year to on better sales volume for new product launches, while pre-tax profits fell 17% due to higher A&P spending on new products.
This also brought the financial year 2019 net profit to 313 million ringgit, an increase of 11% on the year. Now, that was supported by solid revenue growth and improved cost efficiencies for the year. And it was also nice to see that Heineken declared a dividend of 66 cents per share for the quarter. So that means the full year dividend was 1.08 cents per share from 94 cents from the financial year of 2018. But their weaker performance came in spite of a 3% increase in quarterly revenue to 680 million ringgit on the back of improved sales performance across all brands and new product launches. Annual revenue was up by 14% to 2.3 billion ringgit on better sales of core brand and new product launches, which means basically people drank more beer.
And if we look at the earnings estimates on the street at the current moment, it's 8 buys, 1 hold. Everybody wants to hide in the certainty of earnings. So Heineken's one of the names. Consensus target price, 29 ringgit and 23 cents. This morning, the stock is down $2 to 29 ringgit.
And that is all of the corporate news that we have for you this morning, because we're about to head into the 9:30 news bulletin. And then we have Pressing Matters, where Kusu Chuang and Wang Xiaoning speak with Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director of Independent Pollster Merdeka Center, and P. Guna Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, on their take on the political machinations driving the press to frenzy overnight. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.